Good morning, everyone. It's really good to see you all this morning. It'll be cold, a little bit dull, but hopefully that's not going to be the situation within these four walls. A very warm welcome and a special welcome if you are here for the first time. We very much hope you will feel at home with us. And of course, everyone is invited to stay for tea and coffee in the Mayor Hall after the service. And we also invite you to take the service paper home with you as a reminder of the various events. I have a couple of items of personal news. Steve Wenman is in Kingston Hospital. She had an operation yesterday, a fairly serious operation, to sort out a gastric problem. So I'm pleased to say that all has gone well, but clearly she will need some time to recover. So do please remember Steve, Tony and the family in your prayers. It would be good also to remember Ray Taylor, who's regularly here with us on a Sunday morning. Ray has been in Kingston Hospital with a back problem. He's now home, but he's still in quite a lot of pain. So we do need to remember Ray. And a reminder that Pat Brooks's Thanksgiving service is at half past three here on Thursday. So we continue to remember the family in our prayers. And a particularly important day today, as it would have been Pat's birthday. Sally Butler reports that we had a really good start to our new Messy Church series. That started last week, and it started with Messy Church Does... film. So the session next month on Sunday the 25th of February, Sunday the 25th of February, will be Messy Church Does Science. So Sally's looking for volunteers to form a small team to plan the event. So if you're interested in science, or indeed if you're not, it'd be an opportunity to learn. So do speak to Sally. And she says you don't have to be a mad scientist to be involved. So do please consider that. And something else to think about as well, to remember to submit your elders' election form. If you haven't got one, do speak to me or Kathy, who's sitting over there. The return box is at the back of the church, and this is very, very important aspect of the life of our church. So do please consider this prayerfully. And finally, to say the church meeting, which was due to be held last Sunday, will now be held on Sunday the 11th of February. That's the second Sunday in the month. So that means it will have a 10:30 service. So the church meeting will be held after that service. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. We're going to open our service by saying together the words of George Herbert's poem, Come My Way, My Truth, My Life. Come my way, my truth, my life. Such a way as... Such a light as shows a feast. Such a... We join to sing, King of Glory, King of Peace, I will love thee.
Thank you.
We join to pray. Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised. Awaken us to delight in your praises, for you made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Be a bright flame before me. Be a guiding star above me. Be a smooth path below me. Be a kindly shepherd behind me. Today, tonight, and forever. O God, you have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. Shed forth continual day upon us who watch for your coming, that our lips may praise you, our life may bless you, and our thoughts may give you glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We join in the Lord's Prayer. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Forever and ever. Amen. During the week, I had a telephone call from our organist, who has just retired, saying, and Tony said, I have nothing to do on Sunday morning. So why don't I give the children's talk? So he was scheduled to give the children's talk this morning. As things fell out, of course, he is now looking after Steve in the hospital, so he is not available to do the children's talk. But I think it's a sign of what may come. And I would ask you to ask a blessing on the children's and their teachers as they leave for their own activities. So we hope that you will enjoy your activities. We join to sing, O love of God, how strong and true. You may have observed that we've reversed the normal order of the readings, so that the Jonah reading, which I'm going to talk about, comes second. So we invite Rose Omingbali to read our first reading, which comes from the Gospel of Mark.
Our first reading is from Mark 1, verses 14 to 20. Jesus calls four fishermen. After John had been put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee and preached the good news from God. "The right time has come," he said, "and the kingdom of God is near. Turn away from your sins and believe the good news." As Jesus walked along the shore of Lake Galilee, he saw two fishermen, Simon and his brother Andrew, catching fish with a net. Jesus said to them, "Come with me, and I will teach you to catch people." At once, they left their nets and went with him. He went a little further on and saw two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in their boat, setting their nets ready. As soon as Jesus saw them, he called them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with hired man and went with Jesus. This ends our reading. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading from the book of Jonah will be read to us by David Tang.
Jonah chapter 3. Once again the Lord spoke to Jonah. He said, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to the people the message I have given you." So Jonah obeyed the Lord and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to walk through it. Jonah started through the city, and after walking a whole day, he proclaimed, "In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed." The people of Nineveh believed God's message, so they decided that everyone should fast, and all the people, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth to show that they had repented. Verse 10, God saw what they did. He saw that they had given up their wicked behavior, so he changed his mind and did not punish them as he had said he would.
When we read the words of the prophets Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or Isaiah, we were on safe ground. We know where we are. Because these are prophets of great insight and personal holiness, whom we can safely trust. Put those thoughts out of your mind when we come to Jonah. Jonah is an anti-hero. He gets almost everything wrong. He is a reluctant prophet. Certainly the word of God came to him, but he didn't like it and he didn't agree with it. He was a man of his time. He was an extremist nationalist Hebrew. God said, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and speak out against it. I am aware how wicked its peoples are. But Jonah has no time for the people of Nineveh, or indeed for any foreigners. Certainly he didn't want to give them early warning about impending danger. Like the rest of Israel, he thought that they were worthless and richly deserved all that they might get. So the word of God telling him to go to Nineveh was simply outrageous. The fate of outside nations was of no concern to him. But in addition, he had doubts about the trustworthiness of God. Could he believe what God was saying? Would God really destroy Nineveh? He thought not. In the back of his mind were what Jeremiah had said about God. If at any time I say I'm going to break down, uproot, or destroy any nation or kingdom, but then that nation turns from its evil, I will not do what I said I would. Jonah did not wish to be made a fool of, and he didn't wish to ruin his reputation as a prophet. So he decided to take a ship to Spain, as far away from Nineveh as the civilized world allowed him to go. This is the background for our reading. Jonah's plan to avoid God's call, had come to nothing. Indeed, it has involved an unpleasant nautical experience. And after all that, the Lord came to Jonah again. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to the people the message I have given you. So Jonah went and proclaimed, in 40 days Nineveh shall be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and all the people, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth to show that they had repented. God saw that they had did what they did, so he changed his mind. And Jonah was furious. The story of Jonah shows how the word of God comes to individuals and communities and is ahead of their vision and the people we naturally behave. It reveals to us a different way, that greater vision without which people perish. The value of the scriptures is that they illustrate how God works and they give us a pattern for our living. We remember, for example, the Jubilee program. It was based on the Jewish custom, the year of Jubilee, when each 7 years in the Jewish calendar, debts are cancelled. But it was used not long ago as a model to cancel unpayable levels of debt accumulated by developing countries. And you may also remember the way Wilfred Owen used the scriptures, using the story of Abraham and Isaac in his parable of the old man and the young man about the 1914-18 war. Then Abraham bound the youth with belts and straps and builded parapets and trenches there and stretched forth the knife to slay his son, when lo, an angel called him out of heaven, saying, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything to him. Behold, a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Offer the ram of pride instead of him. But the old man would not so, and slew his son, and half the seed of Europe, one by one. Wilfred Owen, who was killed in that same war, left this as a testimony for us to use, if we will, to look for an alternative to wars which destroy young lives and wreck families. The book of Jonah was written to show that God's mercy extends to all people, not just to the Hebrew people. It was certainly written sufficiently long after the fall of Nineveh in 612 BC for that city to have become a legend of wickedness. And reading it, you can see that the very idea that God cared for all people was very controversial. Jonah makes his view very clear. "Lord, didn't I say before I left home that this is just what you would do? That's why I did my best to run away to Spain. I knew that you were a loving and merciful God, always patient, always kind, and always ready to change your mind and not punish. Now, Lord, let me die. I am better off dead than alive." The Lord answered, "What right have you to be angry?" The book concludes with an account of the way God dealt with Jonah, who could not tolerate the wideness of God's mercy. God made a plant to grow over Jonah, to give him some shade, so that he would be more comfortable. And Jonah was extremely pleased with the plant. But at the next day, on God's command, a worm attacked the plant, and it died. And God also sent a hot east wind to beat on Jonah's head. So he wished he was dead. And God said, "What right have you to be angry about the plant?" Jonah said, "Every right to be angry, angry enough to die." The Lord said to him, "This plant grew up in one night and disappeared the next. You didn't do anything for it, and you didn't make it grow, and yet you feel sorry for it. What about me? Should I not have pity on Nineveh, that great city, and the people who I have created? After all, it has 120,000 innocent children in it, not to mention the animals." The question the book of Jonah leaves us with is, how can we live with the wideness of God's mercy? Many of Jesus' parables are about the love of God and our difficulty of coping with it. He told parables to show that many people find the love of God offensive. The prodigal son is welcomed back with a party, and there is no recrimination for wasting his heritage. But his older brother was furious. In the marketplace, the people who had worked all day were paid the same as people who had worked for 1 hour only, because the employer was generous, and they were not pleased. Jesus was famous for keeping bad company, like tax extortioners, on women of doubtful reputation. His unconditional welcome enabled them to change their lives. He said to them, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom has come near. Repent and believe the good news." He also said, "There is more joy among the angels of God over one sinner who repents than among 99 people who need no repentance." His picture of the world and the church was a place where good people and bad, the tares and the wheat in the parable, journeyed together receive together the goodness of God. And where the opportunity of a new start of repentance is always before us. In the New Testament, the word for repentance is metanoia, like metamorphosis is a change of form, that's a change of mind. Repentance is not a mystical process. It's illustrated by what happened at Nineveh, where the people of Nineveh made up their minds to change their lives, and God changed his mind. Jonah found it offensive. He sought to fit God into a rigid framework of his own concept of justice, and that attempt failed completely. The book of Jonah ends with the concern of God for the confused people of Nineveh, with their 120,000 innocent children and their animals. God loves and cherishes all that he has made, even the poor, ignorant people with their folk, with their cattle, in that deprived city of Nineveh. Keep silence for a moment or two. The next hymn was written by Faber, who was a notorious, disciplined, strict Victorian. And he wrote, amongst other things, these words: "But we make his love too narrow by false limits of his own, and we magnify his strictness with a zeal he will not own." The hymn is: "There's a wideness in God's mercy like the wideness of the sea." We join in our prayers for ourselves, for this place, and for the world. Anyone who believes in Jesus will know his power to save and to set us free. When I say the words, "In you, O Lord," will you respond, "We put our trust"? In you, O Lord. Loving God, because we trust you, we come to you now with our concerns for the church and for the world. In you, O Lord, we put our trust. We bring all those who find it so hard to believe, so hard to trust in a faithful, loving God. We bring those who teach the faith, all who preach and talk about the good news. Give the right words for each situation and each person, and enable the news of the gospel to take root and grow. In you, O Lord, we put our trust. We bring those whose authority and decisions affect the lives of many people and the health of the planet. We pray for sensitivity and honesty and the strength to retain integrity, even in positions of power. In you, O Lord, we put our trust. We bring children and their parents and all whose family circumstances find difficulty and change. Give us the flexibility to adapt to your guiding in all our relationships, and above all, in our relationship with you. In you, O Lord, we put our trust. We bring all for whom illness or injury has caused disruption, uncertainty, and the prospect of long-term change. We bring all who find their lives are spinning out of their control. Give them working knowledge of your total loving and unchanging presence, so that in all the changes and troubles of life, they may have the assurance of your everlasting protection. In you, O Lord, we put our trust. We commend to your love and mercy all those who have made the journey through death. We pray for those who mourn. We thank you for your understanding and compassion, and pray that we may know your unending forgiveness for everything that we may do. In you, O Lord, we put our trust. As we call to mind the guidance and help you give us each moment of every day, we thank you and praise you, Holy God, because you alone have the words of eternal life. In you, O Lord, we put our trust. In the quiet of our own minds, we bring to you all those for whom we are currently concerned. Our friends, our family, the situation of our country, issues and problems which concern us personally. Loving God, because we trust you, we come to you now with our concerns. In you, O Lord, we put our trust. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our service as we make our offering. Lord, accept these offerings as the symbol of our intention to live, to extend your kingdom, and to proclaim it among our friends and the place where we live. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We join to sing Praise to the Holiest in the Height. Now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always. Amen. As we conclude the service, we say the grace to each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.